Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about parenting, with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here is where we explore the joys and the griefs, the risks and rewards of being a dad. I'm Stephen Amaya. There's a group of dads in this country who belong to the National At-Home Dads Network, and it's just as the name suggests. At nearly 4,000 strong, they are a formidable bunch of men, confident and generous. Every year they hold a convention, and this year's was in San Antonio. After the convention, I had the opportunity to interview one of the dads, and this is how it went.
My name is Orbis Brackeen, and I am 41 years old. I have identical twin boys. Oh. They are 15 years old.
Oh, okay. So they're not underfoot so much.
That's a good way of saying it, absolutely. I actually will be 42 years old on the 18th of this month.
Oh, well, that's great. Congratulations on having made it this far.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now,
it's been quite the journey, I must say.
You know, journeys usually have an arc to them.
Yes.
And do you have a sense of from the beginning of your fatherhood to the present time what the arc of your fatherhood has been?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So starting as, I would say, a premature father, when in my case, the children, you know, are still going through the development process within the womb. Uh-huh. I was very, very excited, wanted to feel them, you know, kick my face of my cheeks, uh-huh. You know, and, you know, just listen to them. And I'm like, hey, it's daddy, you know, I love you. And, you know, just looking just so excited. And, you know, the first few months, you know, there was a lot of hugging, yeah. A lot of holding. So it was great. And then moved on to where my parenting style was very overbearing, where I didn't want them to do so many different things because I didn't want them to hurt themselves. I didn't want them to develop bad habits.
Okay.
And so I was being unnecessarily overprotective, you know, not even letting them figure out life on their own.
No, was sports included in that? Or
not as of that point, nah. Because of the fact that I always thought to myself, I don't want them to feel pressured into trying to carry on my legacy. And So that was something that I definitely wanted to instill more education versus athleticism and sports.
Yeah.
But I mean, I did let them play, you know, and trying to teach them little by little. And they were just happy to be when I would lift them up to the rim, being so close to the rim. So, you know, that really made them feel happy.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. Now, are you a tall man?
Yes. From what I've been told, I'm kind of tall.
Okay. Is it metric or is it feet?
Well, it would be in feet, since you know we're still using the imperial system.
Yeah.
I am 87 inches or 7 feet 3 inches tall.
Oh, okay, that's imposing. You have a weapon there. just
yes.
As far as your presence goes. Yeah.
Yes. And I have been told that my presence is very intimidating.
Well, it goes with the voice, I'm sure.
Yes, I think so, because a lot of people, they'll hear my voice, and I've seen literally where you can literally see the fear just become draped over their faces. And then when they get to know me, then they're like, oh, he's a giant teddy bear. And, I'm like, I'm not going to use my height, to impose people. However, when it comes to as far as someone needs like protection or someone stand needs someone to stand up for them, in those times, of course, I definitely will do that.
Now here's a personal question, and it doesn't
Sure.
have to be in the show if you don't want it to be in the show, but
I have no problem.
okay, well, at 7 foot plus, and you're an African American man,
Yes.
and you have to have encountered some difficult situations.
Without question. So a lot of people don't know that Arizona has been a very racist state. Where it's tough is, within the 80s, you'll definitely hear the N-word used quite often, but not just from adults, but also from children. So, dealing with that on a constant basis, but you don't want to, tell your parents about it because, they will go back to the school or try to figure out where you were, and then it kind of blows up into something that, it makes you regret saying anything. So, I ended up learning to become more thicker skinned, but racism now is more sophisticated on how it's presented. But one thing never ends, and that is being over 7 feet, African American, and being pulled over for just walking down the street, literally on the sidewalk going to a bus stop. And so things like that, as far as with their height, it can be annoying, but sometimes it can be scary because of the fact,
You're
yes,
conspicuous.
absolutely. And so I have to watch out with where my hands are, to keep them out of my pockets. If I need to get my ID or anything like that, I'm literally repeating myself saying, I am unarmed. I'm just getting my wallet. And I'm like, here you go. And when I'm putting my wallet back in, I'm like, I am unarmed. I'm just putting my wallet back into my pocket. And, then you keep your hands, where your palms are outward, and then you just relax them on your thighs,
Now,
while you're standing.
have you, what steps have you taken to inform your kids of, the situation, the racial situation and the police situation?
You know what? It's been where I like to keep things at a open conversation and a constant conversation about it. Because when they were in first and second grade, we had them in a school that was supposed to be a very good school, almost like a private school in a sense. But the school was called Acclaim Academy, and they're more Latino-based dominant, which, it's totally fine for us. But they, with Arvis and Angela, even though they do have Latin culture within them, when you see them face to face, you're like, you'll just classify them as, oh, two African American kids. That's it. So they would be made fun of and called chocolate, which in Espanol means chocolate. You know, at that time, I had to tell them, I'm like, ignore it. Don't let it get to you. It will make you mad. But I'm like, just let them know that's not my name. And, you know, just walk away. I'm like, the strongest one is the one who knows when to walk away instead of being the ignorant one or the dumb one and stay. And now you don't have control of your emotions. So one day I ended up telling, taking them to school, and I happened to watch them, you know, go into class, and, you know, two kids stopped him, and they're like, Chocolate. And they was like, that's not my name. And it was like, you know, like, you know, we just only gonna call you Chocolate. And I was like, I was right behind him. I'm like, what did he say? And they was like, oh, we're just playing. I'm like, that doesn't look like he's playing. I'm like, I know your parents, and I know they would not be happy with that. So that transitioned on to, as far as they know, plenty of good cops, but I told them not every cop will be as kind, you know, make you a junior, you know, policeman for the day. But I'm like, there will be some who you may get arrested and you didn't do a certain thing. And I'm like, instead of pulling out your phone, just like everyone else does, I'm like, you know, remember, it's a battle and you want to be able to stay alive to, you know, continue to battle on. And so I'll tell them, excuse me, if that happens, I'm like, remember what time it is. Remember the date. Look to see if you can get a badge number. I'm like, if you can't, remember how his physical appearance looks or her physical appearance looks. And you get one free call. I'm like, call my phone and, you know, or mom's phone, and we're on our way to come get you. And so, you know, they've dealt with so many different racial situations, and it's a constant, you know, reminder and giving them notes on how to survive when I'm not around.
Have they been in any fights?
They haven't been into many fights. There have been a couple of them. And, you know, when they explain to me on it, I'm not mad because it was more self-defense. They didn't start anything. But, you know, I do recall when they were in Burlington Coat Factory, and, you know, there was a woman, an elderly woman, who was Caucasian. She gave them a hard time because, unfortunately, the color of their skin. And I'm listening to her, and she doesn't realize I'm behind her. And she says, as far as you're lucky, I'm not calling the cops. And I'm like, why would you call the cops? And she was like, oh my goodness. Man,
Looking
and
down
she's
at
like, yep. And she was like, you're very tall. I'm like, with all due respect, man, can you answer the question? And she was like, these two were causing trouble. And I'm like, I've been watching them. And she was like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm their parent. And I'm like, we'll be leaving because if this is right now getting out of hand, and I don't want to involve the manager because of the fact that you decided to take this matter into your own hands, and your coworker is looking dead at us. So that's another witness. And, you know, so she got quiet, never saw her again. But, you know, my sons were very mad. And I'm like, you have every right to be mad. Don't let that anger control you. And so, you know, when it comes to racism, stereotypes, et cetera, we have a constant open conversation about that.
What now this seems like the main lesson of your parenthood is having to navigate this.
Yes.
That must be very hard. To what degree does your wife, you know, enter into your fathering? You know, it's a partnership, I'm imagining, and are you a tag team, or are you your heads together and have one?
Oh, I know what you mean. Basically, just how do you parent being the father and her being the mother,
yeah.
You know, especially two boys. Mm-hmm. Well, I have, and this is where I learned as far as the arc of fatherhood. I became more of a reflect, you know, during the reflection stage, mm-hmm. assess the situation. And after assessing the situation, I then address the situation to my sons. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the one to yell or do physical discipline, such as using the belt or using the hand, something of that nature, because that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It may work with others, but with my children, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
The lesson is lost. Mm-hmm. So I'm not one to yell. Sometimes my wife will. And what I'll do if I'm in another room, I'll walk in there and be at an angle where she can't see me. And if it's something that is getting out of hand and then I see my sons are very uncomfortable, I'm like, that's when I step in and I'm like, you know, Angel, there's a better method, you know. And
that takes courage.
You know, it does. It does, because, you know, being honest, it's where they've seen a lot of abuse, you know, verbal, emotional, a lot of control issues. And, you know, you have where they've seen where once, you know, I had to get free. And if I didn't, my arm would have been broken.
Yeah.
And so it's where, you know, I've always told them, no matter how bad the situation gets, never put your hands on or cause any type of violence towards, you know, your lover.
Yeah.
And it's where I'm like, I'd rather see you walk away or lock yourself in the room from her, than to see you stay there and become now a statistic. Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, with our parenting, sometimes, yeah, we are very much a very, very good team.
Yeah.
You know, I try to use the logic and just listen to them. And then just assess the situation. I want to hear their side.
That's really good.
And yeah, so when I do that, there's sometimes where she doesn't agree with it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, you know what? I know what works, especially where teachers will say, as far as, you know, thank you for the way you parent, etc. Oh, man. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I have a long way to go.
But nevertheless, you know, a comment like that can bring a tear to your eye, you know?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's in this realm that you've had the greatest reward as a parent, as a father.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like you've done well, and they've survived for, what, 15 years?
15. And I remember my failures, you know, it's a constant reminder, because even though children are so forgiving, you know, and they're just so understanding, and they don't even realize it, that they possess those strong traits. And, you know, they're understanding, because I told them, I'm like, I didn't have mentorship when it came to me being a dad,
yeah.
You know, me and my dad didn't get our close relationship until a few years before he passed.
Yeah. How old was he when he passed?
73. He would have been 70. He would have been 74. He passed 6 days before his birthday. Yeah.
You had your conflicts.
Yes, we definitely butted heads. I mean, to the point where he was from the generation that, you know, used the belt. And, you know, it was successful, you know, but also at the same time, I mean, going to bed with, you know, your underwear having drips of blood on
welts.
Oh, yes. I was actually about to say that. And it's where I'm like, I do not want to do this to my kids. Yeah. And, you know, there's been times where I'm like, I just felt like I could have done better. I could have done better. Mm-hmm. I could have done better. And my kids would tell me, Dad, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And and that's where, as far as learning to be, you know, an honest, you know, on their level parent, you know, so the message doesn't get lost.
Yeah.
That's where, as far as seeing them relate to that and seeing the positive benefits, you know, it's where I'm truly happy. They still have some times where, you know, they're like, oh, Dad, I can do this. I can do this. And I'll still go outside with them and, you know, play soccer or football, or I'll just sit there and watch them. And then they'll come to me. Can you hold my wallet? Can you hold my phone? Can you hold my pants? You know, because of the fact that they have shorts underneath. Yes, and I'm like, I'm looking at them. I'm like, I am not happy with you right now. You know, and they get it, you know, because, so, you know, we may have the conversation I don't like to have with them, that long conversational walk home, but, you know, you can tell that they understood and they're not like, you know what, I don't feel like talking. When they get inside, they're just like, okay, I need to do this or I need to do that. So that would definitely be the reward, is just seeing their maturity.
Well, that's good. You know, and this brings me to, you have a strong sense of faith. And yes. I'd like to know, how does that manifest itself in your fathering?
Oh, it manifests big time, you know. So my mom and my dad, they established a very strong Christian atmosphere, you know, within the household. And having Christ as my Lord and Savior, it really has affected my fatherhood in I would say this way specifically. You know, as Christians, we sin, just as humans in general. We sin, we do wrong. We ask God for forgiveness. We're begging for his mercy. But yet, we're given that. Now we're, you know, disciplining our children, whether it's going to be grounding, you know, taking away of something, etc. We don't show mercy to them, you know. And I'm like, you know what? That's interesting. I'm like, we're begging God for mercy. Give us another chance. I'm like, I got to do the same with Arvis and Angelo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll give them another chance. You know, the one thing I'll just tell them to do is put your phone away while I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And God has blessed me with good hearing. If I can hear that, I hear music or video, I'm like, turn it off.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to him and I'm like, look, we talked about it. Let's move on. I'm not bringing it up. I'm like, I love you. And I'll ask him, I'm like, how do you feel about this? I'm like, be real with me. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your thoughts about this? You know, for the most part, they'll tell me and I'm like, cool. You know, so there's times where, take them on a walk, you know, try to get, you know, their opportunity to open up. And that's like the same thing with meditation. you know, within it's being a Christian. You know, you're kind of taking a walk within your mind, your soul, your spirit with the Lord. And, you know, you're opening up to him and you're waiting for him to respond, you know. And that's where, as far as being a Christian, has definitely helped. And they have seen, they have told their mom, they're like, you know what, Dad's parenting style has changed. The more he gets closer to God, the more he becomes a better parent. And I'm like,
wow,
exactly.
Yeah, what a thing to say. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, they are extremely mature.
Yeah,
to be 15 years old.
Yeah, they sound like they're going to be very interesting young men.
Absolutely. And they still, you know, I'm blessed that they still do, as far as the chivalrous way of living, you know, opening the door, pulling out the chair, you know, giving up their jacket to their girlfriend when they're cold. And even saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir.
That's awesome.
Know, to adults. Yep. So I'm like, cool.
Yeah. You've done well, Arvis.
I'm trying.
If you had a chance to work outside
yes,
in the world, would you?
You know what? I've really thought about this, and you know, it would be no.
Yeah.
And the reason why I said that is because the immediate need of availability for not just parents, but for dads is extremely important, and it's not really seen as far as the need. Yeah. Arvis and Angelo are great examples of how having their dad at home has, they have significantly benefited. And they're still goofy as I don't know what, just like their dad.
Arvis Brekeen, I want to thank you for being a guest on Father Figures.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It was definitely a splendid blessing, I must say.
I had a wonderful time.
Yes, and I hope that it's been a blessing for those who are listening.
It is a mistake to equate skin color with a disability. Yet I suspect there's a great number of things they have in common. Some of us are forced to learn certain lessons by fate and circumstance, by no fault of our own, about how we make contact with other people in our everyday lives. We are all in a minority demographic of some kind, but not all of us have to be keenly aware of where our hands are and how we move. I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautix.com for the music, and CC Blanca for production assistance. And of course, thanks again to Arvis Jamal Brekeen for his gracious candor. If you'd like to get in touch with me, please send along an email to RadioRanchero@gmail.com. I wish you would. I like hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and remember, the days may be long, but the years are short. Bye-bye.